agreement with Nate about, first of all, the giftedness of our teens. We have a really great group of teens. We saw them on display during Senior Sunday. I mean, leading us in worship. And it wasn't just our graduating seniors. It was a great group of our teens coming together to lead us in worship. So just many, many things to brag on when it comes to our teens. And when it comes to summer camps, like Nate said, this is a spiritually forming time for them to get away and to really focus on their relationship with the Lord. So we would love for you to be a part of giving to the Youth Camp Scholarship Fund. Money's already coming in, so thank you to those who have already given. But if you would like to participate in this above and beyond giving opportunity, please do that. We would encourage you to do that. Before we get into the message, join me in prayer. So, Father, we pause. And we breathe in your goodness. We breathe in your love and your grace. Help us to breathe out anxiety and worry and fear. And God, as you've done in the past, I pray for us today that you would guide our hearts faithfully by the light of your Spirit. Give us your Spirit, O God, so that we can become truly wise and ever rejoice in your goodness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Are you listening? That's our question for today. Are you listening? Because active listening and healthy thinking and wisely responding, they are all disciplined arts. And you and I may believe that we are actually good listeners. Have you ever met someone like that? Kind of a self-professed good listener, and you kind of think otherwise? You're like, yeah, not really, not so much. And maybe that's you this morning. And maybe you are a good listener, and kudos to you if you are. But for many of us, we struggle with this. I mean, have you ever yourself, quote-unquote, listened to someone as they're speaking, and at some point you realized you missed the last 2 minutes of what was coming out of their mouth because you were focused on something else entirely? Maybe you were watching TV, or maybe you were thinking about your response to what they were saying, or maybe, like the example I'm about to give, you were listening to a speech, and early on, the speaker said something that you disagreed with entirely, and so you stopped listening to the talk. Now, I know none of you will do that today, but maybe you've done that before. So take this example and think about it. Jason Fried, CEO of a company called Basecamp, he tells a story about sitting at a conference, listening to a talk. He was actually really looking forward to this talk by this presenter, but very early on, in the presentation, the speaker said something, and Jason just totally disagreed with his point of view. And as the talk went on, Jason just grew more and more agitated. And when it was over, he rushed up to talk to the presenter, and if you've ever been to a conference like that, you probably know there's a long line usually waiting to either thank or talk to or ask a question to the presenter. And so Jason waits in line, and when he gets up to the front and it's his turn, he says that the presenter listened graciously as he just went on this rant about everything he disagreed with and why he disagreed with him. And at the end of it, he said the presenter simply smiled and said, just give that 5 minutes. Just give it 5 minutes. And he went to the next person in line and started talking to them. And Jason was like, what? That's it? Are you kidding me? That's it? And to his credit, he didn't blow up right there. He just kind of walked away perplexed. But as he thought about what the presenter said, he began to realize he's got a point, and actually his point has value. Because he admits that early on in the lecture, again, he just totally disagreed with what was happening and what was being shared, and he stopped listening. He stopped listening. And when there is no listening, there's no thinking. And when there's no thinking, there's no learning. And so he kind of has adopted, Jason Fried, if you read some of his blogs, he's adopted this mantra, give it 5 minutes, as a personal filter for when he comes to a difficult moment or a crisis situation or a hard conversation. He gives it 5 minutes. Now, if you're anything like me, it may be more like 24 hours, or give it a week, maybe even 30 days. The point is, give it some space. Let it sit so that you can listen and reflect before you respond. A recent experiment was conducted at Harvard University in which people were asked to make a moral judgment on a particular issue, but the catch was that some of the people in the group were not allowed to present their judgments right away. They had to give it 2 minutes. They had to let 2 minutes go by before they could respond with their judgment. And this delay allowed people to do a better job of paying attention to some of their poor arguments. Arguments whose flaws were not readily recognized by those who were allowed to respond immediately to what was happening. So as it turns out, listening and thinking, every minute counts. Every minute counts in responding wisely. So the way of wisdom that I want us to really lean into today is this idea of active listening. And the ancient sages knew the imperative nature of active listening. I want you to pay attention to how the collection of the Proverbs begins. Starting at the very beginning, Proverbs 1, starting in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, and knowledge and discretion to the young. Now listen to this. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. Now, I emphasize the teaching of verse 5 right there because when someone chooses to listen, they can add to their learning and begin to discern well whatever comes their way. And so, in other words, we could say that listening is the beginning point or the entry point to the way of wisdom. And if active listening is such a significant part of the way of wisdom, then why do we struggle with it so mightily? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, if you were to inject a truth serum in yourself, I think we all struggle with this. This idea of really actively listening to someone when they're sharing. Proverbs 10:19 maybe gives us some insight. The wise writer says this, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. But what's our typical mode of operation? We like to fill space with what? Words, with noise, something. Somebody turn on some music, please, it's too silent. Just turn on the TV so there's some type of background noise while I cook or read, or we just can't stand the silence, the space that is there. And we tend to fill it with words, but there's other obstacles that contribute to the struggle of not being great listeners. And I just want to give you a brief list of mistakes that we often make, and I want to see if any of these ring a bell with you, okay? These are fairly common as you read about active listening. Maybe you daydream. Maybe it's hard for you to really zero in and pay attention. You're thinking about something else while the other person is talking. And it may be as something simple as your grocery list for this afternoon or the activity or event that you're going to attend later tonight. And you're not listening to anything that they're saying. And it's because you're daydreaming. Or number two, maybe you're thinking of what to say next. I mentioned this earlier. Do you ever do that? Your spouse or your close friend or maybe even your child is speaking and you're trying to think about what to say next to make your point. And you're not listening to anything that's coming out of their mouth. Or third, maybe you make the mistake of judging what the other person is saying while they're speaking You're making a judgment because you want to be right. Or maybe you make the mistake of listening with a specific goal or an ending point in mind. You already know where you want someone to be by the end of the conversation, and you're doing whatever you can to get them to that point. That's not the healthiest of practices, even if you have best intentions in mind, because what tends to happen is you're not listening to what they're really saying. And so these are some of the barriers of active listening that are signs that we're not paying attention, we're not really hearing from the other person. And without active listening, it really is difficult to explore the other person's feelings, to understand their thoughts and where they're coming from. But when we choose to engage in an active listening conversation, don't you feel respected and honored and loved when someone does this for you? Because you're taking the time to really listen. So how can we overcome these pitfalls of mindless communication and become wise, become an active listener? Perhaps the central verse of Scripture in this comes from New Testament wisdom literature, the book of James. Listen to chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." Now you think about that verse. What's our cultural practice? We like to flip that verse, right? We like to be quick to be agitated or irritated or angry, and we like to act from that place of irritation or anger. We are quick to speak. We have words, and we want to share those words because we believe that we're right. And whatever, maybe we'll listen if that's needed, if I have to, right? We get that verse completely flip-flopped. But the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom of God is to listen well. Speak if you must, and be slow to become angry. I'm rereading a fabulous book titled How to Think by an author, Alan Jacobs. And in this book, I've discovered a wonderful example of what it looks like, a picture of active listening. And maybe you're familiar with the foundation I'm about to cite, but if not, go and look it up. This is a beautiful picture of what active listening looks like. Jacob describes attending a debate sponsored by the Long Now Foundation. And he describes what the debate structure or format looked like as he sat there and watched this debate and participated in this debate. And he goes a long way to be specific. He says, "This debate is nothing like we experience on television during election season," right? That's what we're used to. But I want you to listen closely to what the Long Now Foundation provides as a framework for conversation. He says there's two debaters, let's say Alice and Bob, and Alice takes the podium first and makes her argument. And then it's Bob's turn, but before he can present his own side of his counter-argument, what he has to do first is represent her argument to her satisfaction. So he has to repeat what she just said, and she has to be satisfied with the way that he repeats it. And once she says, "Yes, that's exactly what I meant, and that's how I said it," Then and only then can he present his counter argument. And what is that? That's a demonstration of respect and good faith, that you were actually paying attention to what the other person said. And church, listen to me. This is the kind of communication that requires sharp thinking and compelling language. And oftentimes we're like, "Yes, I'll applaud that. Sharp thinking, good communication skills. That's what I'm looking for in someone. That's who I want to follow. That's what I want to be like. I want to try to lean into having sharp thinking skills and good words to share." You know what else it requires? That very rarely we practice well. It requires active attention and deep empathy. Let me put it into really clear words, disciples. Active listening requires love. It requires love. Love of God and love of the other. When you're paying attention, you're thinking of the other person's interest. When you're listening for how they're saying what they're saying, you're trying to connect with their feelings. And when they're sharing an experience or how they're responding or how they feel about something, you're listening and trying to find a way. Can I be empathetic here? Can I understand where they're coming from at all? And if you haven't read Philippians 2 lately, I'm describing it to you right now. And the point of it all is love. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Then a part of this journey is active listening. And again, the ancient sages knew the imperative nature of this kind of listening. My favorite passage that illustrates this from the wisdom literature is from Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, listen carefully to these verses. Proud people will be ruined, but the humble will be honored. Anyone who answers without listening is foolish and confused. The will to live can get you through sickness, but no one can live with a broken spirit. The mind of a person with understanding gets knowledge. Now listen, the wise person listens to learn more. Sound familiar? That's how the collection of Proverbs began, right? The wise listen and add to their learning. The wise person listens to learn more. And this sounds right, right? But how can we begin to pursue this? Well, first let me say there's two keys in this passage that stand out to me. And we'll leave that on the screen so you can look at it. But the first is the heart of humility. Active listening requires a heart of humility. The wise sages knew this. They knew without humility, it's impossible to love well. It's impossible to listen well. And Jesus knew this. Jesus highlighted this kingdom of God value over and over again. It's all over the pages of the Gospels. I'll give you one example. In Luke 14, Jesus was having dinner with what's identified as a prominent Pharisee, someone who was known well and respected in the community. And they were having dinner around his table. And there were other Pharisees there and other people who were seeking seats of honor. And that's when Jesus tells them in Luke 14, he says, if you want to be exalted, if you're trying to exalt yourself, that's great. You will be humbled. You will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And this is just one example of Jesus, of humility. Without humility, I dare say it's impossible to love God and to love others. The second key that stands out from this Proverbs 18 verse is just to listen well, right? You see it there. Listen well. Just as God's command to love is motivated by his own love for us, he says, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Why should I do that? Because God first loved you. 1 John chapter 3 tells us that. You should love one another because God first loved you. And it's the same with listening. And listening requires love. But why should we listen well to others? Why should we express respect and honor and love to other people? Because God listens to us first. It's all over the pages of Scripture. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, as God's people cry out to him, as they're longing to hear his voice, and they're laying their needs and their desires and their intercessions and their praises and their thanksgivings before God. God is listening. And so when we choose to listen well to our neighbor, we're imitating an attribute of God. We are like God in these moments. And so again, the wisdom of Proverbs 18, it sounds right. It sounds like the way to wisdom, the pathway to wisdom, but how do we get started? I just want to give you five simple practices, and maybe these are things that you're already doing, but for some of you here today, maybe between you and the Lord right now, you're saying, you know what, I need to work on this. I'm not good at it. I'm rather proud at times. I don't listen well. I want to give you these as a starting point, all right? Here's a starting point for you to begin on this road to active listening. The first one is nonverbal involvement. And some of these are going to be like, duh, yeah, got it. I should be doing that. But it's good to be reminded. Nonverbal involvement means what? You're actually looking at the person when they're talking to you. Early on in our marriage, you can ask Tara, I figured out I'm going to have to turn off the TV if I'm really going to listen to what she's saying. I just got to turn it off. Because that's not good practice, right? If your spouse is talking to you and you're looking at the TV, are you really listening? Yeah, you're present, but you're not paying attention. So turn it off. Turn off the noise and give the other person respect and honor and love by paying attention, looking at them in the eye. As you listen well, you may not be saying a word, but your nonverbals communicate a ton. Second thing, pay attention to the speaker, not your own thoughts. Pay attention to what they're saying and how they're saying it. And this is hard, all right? I struggle with this. I struggle with not thinking through what do I need to say next or how do I need to respond. And when I catch myself doing that, it's almost like a reaction to recenter and focus because I'm not listening to them when I do that. So resist the urge to think about what you need to say next and listen well. And here's the thing. This leads us to the next one, which is paraphrasing. Repeat back to the person what they just said, just like the example from earlier. If you're listening well, you should be able to respond, to repeat back what they just shared to you to their satisfaction. Yes, that's what I meant when I said that. Or they can say, no, that's not exactly what I meant. Okay, well, tell me more. Help me understand. And they can try again. Then you repeat it again until they are satisfied. Then you begin to think about, okay, how would I respond to that? And it's okay to have a little space. It's okay to have a little silence before you respond. It doesn't have to be immediate. Give it 5 minutes. Give it 5 minutes. And then come back and share your response. Another thing I would say, fourthly, is practice non-judgment. We mentioned this as a barrier earlier, but a lot of times we're listening to someone and we think we're right, and maybe you are right, but resist the urge to judge their comments or their idea as wrong and just listen. Try to learn and understand where they're coming from before you make some type of judgment. You're not listening well if all you're thinking about is they're wrong, I'm right. There's a little book about 100 pages long. It's called Being Wrong. That's the name of the book, Being Wrong. And basically what the author says is you're never more right than when you admit that you're wrong. Now you think about that. It's hard to admit that we're wrong. It's hard to not judge someone's comments as they're talking, but resist the urge and listen well. And then the last practice would be this: ask good questions. As you've resisted the urge to interrupt, as you've resisted the urge to judge or try to correct as someone is sharing, as you've resisted the urge to do all that and you've listened well, if you need to, ask good questions when they're finished. Ask them, hey, you mentioned something back here about a certain behavior or addiction of your past. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Or I didn't quite understand what you meant when you said this. Can you explain that to me a little bit more, please? I really want to understand. And so you ask good questions at the end. And these are things that we practice so that we communicate honor and respect and love to the other. Now, as we close, let me say this. This is why this is important. It's exactly what God does for you. When you go to God, when you sit with God, He doesn't judge you. He doesn't talk back and interrupt. He doesn't say, "Nate, be quiet for a second. I need to talk now." No, He listens well. Right? He does this. And if you're paying attention, He'll even give a nonverbal. Right, Brad? He might send a cardinal our way for paying attention. Yeah? He doesn't say anything, but He'll send a nonverbal your way, kind of wink at you. Yeah? If you're paying attention. Let me tell you something. God's the best question asker too, right? And we have evidence of that in Scripture. Jesus is the best listener ever. And it's because He asks great questions. Questions like, "Nicodemus, come on, you're supposed to be Israel's teacher. How do you not understand these things? I'm not talking about your mom. I'm talking about spiritual rebirth. You don't have to go back into your mother's stomach and be born again. Pay attention, Nicodemus." Or maybe the question when the paralytic got lowered down through the roof, right, by his friends, and Jesus is being judged by the Pharisees as He's talking. And He's like, "Guys, come on, which is easier? Let me ask you, which is easier, to tell this guy his sins are forgiven or to tell him, take up your mat and go home?" Right? Or Jesus is surrounded by thousands of people and He's being pressed in on every side and He's being touched just ever so slightly on His outer garment by a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And He turns and He looks at His disciples and He goes, "Hey guys, who touched me? Who touched me?" What a great question. Perplexing. My favorite question of all. As He's headed toward Jerusalem for the last time, there's a blind man named Bartimaeus at the city gate of Jericho as He's headed toward Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus is shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Son of David." And the disciples are like, "Shut that guy up. Come on. We're busy. We're headed to a very important place. We don't have time for this." And Jesus hears him. He's interruptible. Jesus is interruptible. And He walks over to Bartimaeus. "Listen. Listen to me." Jesus leans in and He says, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" So let's finish where we started. Are you listening? Can you hear the Savior's voice leaning in your direction and Him asking you, "What do you want me to do for you?" Whatever your answer is to His question, that's what you need to be working on with Him. With His help, with His grace and mercy, and with His power and wisdom. Whatever your answer is to His question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Lean into that today. Let me pray for us. So God, we come to You with just a few words to ask for Your help. Help us to have ears to hear. God, help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We are grateful for Your love, for Your grace and Your power. And we ask for wisdom today, Father. We ask that You give us Your wisdom to be Your people as we leave here. And God, may we not leave here without declaring, without receiving Your amazing love for us, Your love that is unfailing and relentless, Your love that chases us down, that never gives up on us. We thank You for Your love. May we ever hear the symphony of love that You sing over us every day. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May we share Your love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.